together this morning as a family. Lord, we lift those up this morning that want to be here, that can't be here. They're not feeling well this morning, Lord, or they're just a little under the weather. Lord, we lift them up to you this morning. Lord, when we get home, we find them healed. We find them in strength, Lord, that we find them in good spirits. We find them in love with you. Lord, we're believing for miracles this morning as we pray for those who aren't here. Lord, we just thank you for those in attendance. Let this service be to your glory. Let this service be to your love, Lord. Let's lift up God in a way we never thought we could before. Let's walk closer to God in a way we never thought we could before. That will change your life, my life, and this church's life. Let's make this church shine like the beacon that it should be because we follow and love Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So I pray that you receive this message today and you stay with it and enjoy it and it stays with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Song number 12. If you want to sing along, everybody. Hey, Grace.
You can't make me down. You can't make me down. You can't make me down and in my heart. Well, you can't make me down. I know too much about it. You can't make me down and in my heart.
Say it with me now.
Say, you can't make me down. You can't make me down. You can't make me down and in my heart. Well, you can't make me down. I know too much about it. You can't make me down and in my heart.
Well, I got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus. I got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Well, you can't make me down. I know too much about it. You can't make me down. I'm in my heart.
I hope you say,
well, I feel fire burning. I feel fire burning. I feel fire burning in my heart. Well, you can't make me down. I know too much about it. You can't make me down. I'm in my heart.
If you believe it, say it with us.
You can't make me down. You can't make me down. You can't make me down. I'm in my heart. Well, you can't make me down. I know too much about it. You can't make me down. I'm in my heart.
You got the love.
Jesus, I got the love of Jesus in my heart. Well, you can't make me down. I know too much about it. You can't make me down. I'm in my heart. You can't make me down, it's in my heart.
Everybody say hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know that that wasn't a real song. You know, that was this man and I, we used to do Bible studies in Westchester. And he got up and started singing something like that. I started putting music to it. And he started singing a little verse like that. And I put music to it. And we both made it a song in a way that we can all sing it in church. You see, it's just a message. You can't make me doubt him. If you can say that and really mean it, boy, your life is different. Third century, and the third century missionaries, he was considered one of the leading people in Ireland. He was called the Bishop of Ireland. He was called the Apostle of Ireland. He was the patron saint of Ireland. Legend has it that he credits the teaching of Ireland about the Holy Trinity, and guess what he used? A shamrock, the three leaves, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was the legend of St. Patrick's, and we celebrate St. Patrick's Day today, and we're going to sing this song for Mr. Kennedy.
Francis
Kennedy himself, who, I don't know if you all know this or not, but he plays the accordion. He does. And he used to play the accordion for his grandmother. And his grandmother, he told us, used to sing this song. And so we're going to sing it today in honor of his grandmother and all our Irish brothers and sisters in Ireland and all our St. Patrick's folks. Sing along with us, everybody. When Irish eyes are smiling, sure as light the morning spring in the little Irish laughter. Smiling, sure they'll steal your heart away. Bring it up to A, Greggy. Oh, you gotta sing it like you mean it. Come on, Franny. We were singing Good Friday, come on. When Irish eyes are smiling, sure as like a morning spring in the laughter, you can hear the angels sing. And when Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. Come on now. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they'll steal your heart away. For Francis Kennedy and his grandmother and everybody celebrating St. Patrick's Day today, let the Spirit of the Lord fill your heart and let it be known that that's St. Patrick's Day that we're celebrating. Hallelujah. Joanne, if you bring us into church, let's welcome back our maestro. Welcome back.
Thank you.
kind of morning to you.
The rest of the day to yourself.
Well, God bless you, B. Hallelujah. It's good to see all you folks here. I knew my grandmother for just a season. I was about 8 years old. My dad's mom was the one I knew. So I never got to spend time with my grandparents. A lot of people have that blessing today, I see. So to honor Fran's grandmother today seemed like the right thing to do in church. This is God's house, and we love one another, and that love that we share to me just felt right to me. To have a grandmother that you remember singing to you and you singing with, what a blessing. What a blessing to share with everybody. You see, there's not right and wrong things to do in church if the spirit is right and the heart is right. That's what makes a church a home. That's what makes us a family. So I hope nobody was trying to say, why are they singing Irish Eyes in church? Because it was all about the love and the spirit of the song and what we shared. Can I have an amen? Let's stand up and pray together now. We do each and every Sunday morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. I remember when I first came here and I was outside talking to some of the local police department that one of the guys pulled up that I knew, and he said to me, "You're going in that church?" I thought it was closed. I said, "Hallelujah. It ain't closed until God says it's closed. Amen. And we're preaching his word in here, and we're all family building each other up, and it's not closed. Amen. Hallelujah." Lord, we love you. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful.
He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes.
He casts out his hail like morsels who can stand before his foe.
He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel.
He has not dealt thus with any nation. As for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're in obedience to the word of God. You might say, "I want to be obedient to God." Well, you just were. You just praised him. You did what God called you to do. Amen? You're not worried about sin because we're walking away from sin. People get so caught up in what sin is and these big sins and the little sins. Just follow God. God will cleanse your spirit. He will lead you. He will give you something to say. Hallelujah. Don't say nothing. Something to say. And now, I understand there's another fella who uses his arms and hands a lot, so I had to laugh. I thought of Fred this week. I saw a man he's a beautiful man. But he was using his arms and his, because Fred said a couple of weeks ago that I at the restaurant, he didn't know I do a lot of it, and I thought, well, wait a minute, what's wrong with that? Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to simply pray that the word we talk about today, the word that we preach on today, is received. Receive it with an open heart. Receive it with a mind that loves God. Receive it as God would want you to. Ask God to show you the light as we talk about his word today. And that's my prayer. Hear my prayer, Lord, that the people will join in and hear what we're going to preach on this morning. Hear my word, Lord.
Praise
for God.
Larry, you got it off guard.
I know. want to get in trouble, but your hair looks so nice. Are we allowed to say that to ladies now?
Yes.
Is it still all right to tell a lady that her hair looks nice?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
The other day I was at the post office. I'm sorry, but the world's making me crazy. I was at the post office and the lady was getting out of her car and I'm thinking, do I open the door or do I just walk away? I don't want her to think that she couldn't open the door herself. We're getting crazy. Praise the Lord. Last week, I love it when we talk Bible, when somebody comes up to me and talks Bible. And last week we were talking, a friend of mine and I were talking about Philippians. You ever read the book of Philippians? Well, you know who wrote that book? Paul. And it was a missionary. It was a missionary letter. It wasn't even a letter of correction to the people at Philippi, but it was a missionary letter saying, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you. And his words were, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Could you say that with me? Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. This little letter in this book, the Philippians, it's like four chapters. It takes you 10 minutes to read it, but there's gold in there. Amen? So I'm going to go through it. I want to go and pick out some of my gold because I want to share some other things that you may not know about the Bible and about Philippians. And I want to talk to you today. I want to share. That's why I want you to be with me today. So we're going to read. I'm going to open up the Philippians. First, does anybody know who the pastor was of the church of the Philippians in Philippi? The pastor for 6 years? Luke. Luke was the pastor. Now understand, we didn't have churches like we have today with the Episcopal and the Catholic Church. There weren't churches like that for about 300 years. How many years? It's about 300 years before they had a building called a church. What the people meant in people's houses, in their living rooms, or in their basement, or anywhere that people could gather and talk and read from, and Paul would preach to them. So when he wrote this letter to the Philippians, he wasn't writing to a building. He was writing to the people. And it was like all our churches should be preaching the same thing. Amen? We shouldn't be preaching anything that's not in the Word of God. We shouldn't be preaching things, making things up to try to hold people in bondage. We should all be. Every church should be able to get together on Monday and talk about what we talked about on Sunday in a way that edifies everybody. Doesn't always happen that way. Paul explained. But this church was very special. And Luke was its pastor for about 6 years. Hallelujah. Here's the first thing I want to share in Philippians. That he, and I, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident. Everybody know what the word confident means? Of this very thing. Listen to this. Listen to this goal. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that confidence? You're wondering what I got to learn, how I got to do it. And you stop worrying about it because the Bible says, he who has started a good work in you, Elaine, is going to continue it. So there's a lot to learn. Amen? There's more to know, Sergio. So the God said, I'm going to continue what I'm giving you. Isn't that gold? How many think that's gold? I think it's gold. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to go over to 1:12. Listen to this. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains, that my what? Are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now here it is. Listen to this, what he says. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. And Paul says, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely. You all see that. You all know that. You know what he's saying. Supposing to add affliction to my chains. In other words, he's saying people are talking wrong about Jesus. And he's saying it pains him. Everybody understand what he's saying? He knows that there's people speaking about God in the wrong way, about Jesus with selfish ambitions. And he says it pains him to hear that. But, say that with me, but
The latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. And listen to what he says right here. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will what? Rejoice. He is saying, I don't really care why they're preaching about Jesus. If they want new cars and a new airplane, if they want to be popular, if whatever they're doing. Whatever they're doing, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is they're preaching about who? Jesus. They're preaching about Jesus. And he said, as long as they're saying his name and preaching it, he says, I will rejoice. Amen? Hallelujah. Good job. Here we go. Whew. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, this is Philippians 2, listen to this. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, notice the word any. He's not looking for a lot. You understand what he's saying? Hallelujah. He's not looking. He said, if there's any consolation, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, he's saying, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Everybody know what that means? We all need to be together, having the same love, the same what? Being of one accord. How many accords? Of one mind. How many minds? Now listen to what these three lines. If you just put these three lines on your refrigerator, hallelujah. God. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each, oh this is great, let each esteem others better than himself. What? I gotta esteem Jim better than me? What are you, crazy? Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. If you put that on your refrigerator and you just read that every day, there's things you wouldn't be able to say. Are you with me? There's attitudes you wouldn't be able to have. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm reading it on my refrigerator. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. What if I don't like the person? Then you pray for them. Well, what if the person I hate the most finds God and all of a sudden becomes a good person? What then? Are you going to be mad? Well, I didn't want them to find God because I wanted something bad to happen to them. Hallelujah. That's not a Christian. Now, you know that. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Hallelujah! That's what Jesus did. He was the Son of who? And he came here for us. He esteemed himself lower. He raised everybody up around him. We need to see that. I know it's hard. Now, moving along now, I'm going to go to 2:14. Now, I want you to listen to this. You might never have heard this before. Maybe God gave it to me. I don't know. God doesn't talk to me in my head. I don't hear his voice. I know the Spirit's really beautiful inside. I know when God is leading me by the Spirit, it's peaceful and it's good. But I want you to listen to this because when I read this, I said, you know what? This is a pastor's prayer. This is a pastor, a priest, a bishop, whatever denomination you want to think. This is a reverence prayer. Listen to this. I could not ask for more for you in this church. Listen, do all things without complaining and disputing. How many things? He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. How many agree that we have a crooked and perverse generation? Don't look at people. I know you guys. One person does not make crooked and perverse. There's a lot of people. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation that you all agree about, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Who shines as lights? Who? You. Who? George Marsh. Who? You, Lisa. Who shines as light? Walter. Shine. You all shine. I know I say that every week. I mention people's names and I don't mention somebody else. I'm in big trouble. Say hi to Joanne. I got her name anyway. She's the last person I want her upset at me. Mom. among whom you shine as lights in the world. You understand? Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And this is it. This is the pastor's prayer. That I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul is saying in this letter to the Philippians, do you do this without complaining, without disputing? He's saying, do this blameless and harmless. And he just says this, and this is a pastor's prayer. My God, he couldn't, this is the greatest. He said that I may, Paul's saying that I may rejoice. So I'm telling you today that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Telling you about God week after week, giving you God's message week after week. Have I labored in vain? Have I failed? Have I failed you? Have I failed the church? See, this is a pastor's prayer. This is a priest's prayer, saying, Lord, let everything that we pray about and read about in church touch them spiritually. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful prayer. Thank you. And listen, Philippians 3, listen to what he says. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Do what? Yes. And I love this part. I love this line. For me, Paul is saying, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He is saying over and over again, if I write the same things, I tell you about love, and I tell you about forgiveness, and I tell you about lifting people up and edifying. I tell you to be blameless, without fault. I'm telling you that, and you say, well, you say that every week. And Paul is saying, if it's not tedious for me, because for you it's what? Safe. Because you're catching on. You might not catch everything I said today, so you might need it next week. I might have said something last week that you remembered, but you're catching on. And he's saying, yeah, Paul's saying it might be tedious to other people, but he's saying for me to do it for you, it's safe. Well, I got to give you the word of who? God. I got to give you the truth. I got to lift you up. I got to do it until you stand up and praise him, until you stand up and call him out, until you raise your hands, until when we're singing, the whole church is singing, until when we're together, we're praising. When you go out there, you become beacons and lights. I've said that 1,000 times because that's what my prayer is for us, for this church, that we become beacons to Derby. God has put us here for a reason. And if he's put us here for a reason, then we need to let God's reason shine out. Can I get a hallelujah? So if you said I heard it before, then I say, then do it. Hallelujah. 3:12, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected. Whew, that's me. That's you. Hallelujah. We don't have to be perfect. Whew. I'm not perfect. But he says, I press on. That means he works. Amen. That means there's effort. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. He's saying, I'm working. I'm working every day. I'm not perfect. I'm not even claiming to be perfect. He said, I'm in what I have already attained. It doesn't matter because I'm working towards a bigger goal. I want to win the prize. How many know that you don't win a prize by just showing up? Hallelujah. That's so wrong. That's so ungodly that you win a prize for showing up. You got to earn the prize. You got to work towards it. You want to gain it. How many know that when something is given to you, it's a nice gift, but when you've earned it, when you've gone out and earned it, how much more valuable is that gift to you? When you've worked hard and you've wanted to buy that house and you knew that someday I'm going to buy that house and one day you walk in that house because you earned it. Isn't that more valuable to you than somebody saying, here, you can have it. Here, I'll give this to you. Oh, you can have this. What is of more value? The thing that you earned or the thing that was given? Now, don't get confused, because somebody who gives you something receives a blessing. Somebody who gives you something gives you a sweater, gives you whatever they give you, they're receiving a blessing because they're doing it for you from God. But when somebody gives you things, when you just have things, things just don't add up. But when you earn what you have, they become special. And that's what he's saying here. We have to earn that prize. We want that. We should want to earn it. We should want to be like that. Blameless. Imagine that. Imagine a church that's blameless. You say that's impossible. I tell you two words. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. We can be that church. We can be that family. It takes work and it takes just coming together. Hallelujah. No complaining, no disputing. Isn't that great? Well, I don't know for you. I was praying last night. I was praying this morning because there's the end of this message and I want to get to it. There's a part in this I really, really, really want to get to. 17. I'm going to read this. Brethren, join in following my example and note that those who walk as you have us for a pattern. He's saying, look at me. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, people are walking away from God, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who sets their mind on earthly things. And this is where I want to take you today. So I hope you're all with me. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's in heaven? Our citizenship. We are citizens in heaven. Do you have any idea how much power that is? Do you have any idea what that means? Do you have any idea what beautiful things? We are citizens where? That's an important word. Hallelujah. How many of you know, you probably all do, that Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians? How many know that he was in prison when he wrote this letter? He was in prison in Rome. In prison. And he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon along with Philippians. You know where he was? In prison in Rome. He wrote these letters. Some people say that he dictated them to Timothy. Some people just say he wrote them. Did you ever wonder how it was that he could have that? I'm going to take you back to Acts 22:22. I want you to listen with me and understand where just the value of what he's telling us. Hallelujah. And they listened to Paul until this word that he gave. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, that's how people protested back in the day. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. Anybody know what scourging is? That's being beaten, being whipped. They're going to examine him under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And they bound him with thongs. Don't sound good to me. Paul said to the centurion, listen now. This is, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? What does that mean? The centurion knew what it meant. And the centurion heard that. He went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came to him and said, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yes. The commander answered, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. Let me read that again. The commander saying, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid. What was he? Afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. He was a Roman what? Citizen. Now, you say, well, the commander said he spent a lot of money to become a citizen. We know that in this country, there are people who spend thousands and thousands of dollars to become what? A citizen. So it's not out of... it wasn't anything the commander did that was wrong. He just went that way. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. Let me make you understand the greatness of God and how the citizen, being a Roman citizen, gave you privileges. Privileges. He had the right to vote. He was able to run for office because he was a Roman. Hallelujah. He was able to own property because he was a Roman. He had the right to sue others. He had the right for a legal trial. I love this one. As a Roman citizen, listen, he had the ability to request Caesar himself to hear his case. He, as a Roman citizen, could say, nope, I want Julius Caesar to be my judge today. And they had to give him that. And one more thing, as a Roman citizen, he could not be tortured. So when he told those Romans, after they already started to beat him, that he was a citizen, they were afraid. You know why? Because they knew that they could have been in big trouble. Because the ones above them would have understood, what did you just do to a Roman citizen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He wrote this letter while in prison. He wrote this letter, and it goes to tell you, it's not your circumstances. You might say you're not wealthy, or whatever circumstances you put yourself in, or whatever life that you're in. It wasn't the circumstances where he was. It's what you do in those circumstances. Amen? It wasn't that he was in prison. He could have just said, oh, I give up. There's nothing left. I'm in prison. There's nowhere to go. No, but he used those circumstances. If you go back and read Philippians again, he said, because God put me in prison, if I was in prison, now I can tell all the king's men. I can tell all the guards who were Romans. I could tell them about who? Jesus. I could tell them about God in a way that they never heard before. So God put him in a place where he could minister to others. And he said, I was blessed to be there. And this was a place where God could use me. So he took his circumstances and said, what can I do in these circumstances to make it better? For God, for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Citizenship. Here's where I just want a few minutes. Just bear with me. I told you a couple of weeks ago, and last week we talked about wanting to know God's Word, where God's Word said, if you don't work, idle hands do not what? Eat. Remember I said that? Idle hands. The Bible says it. I read about five scriptures where if you won't work, if you're able to work and you don't work, then you don't what? You don't eat. You don't prosper. You don't get anything. Because they're talking about giving people money for doing nothing. They're saying, oh, I'm going to give, even if people are, if they don't have any money, even if they're able to work, I'm going to give them money. The Bible says, uh-uh. If you don't work, if you don't try, because we even talked about the Garden of Eden last week. And God put Adam in the garden. What did he tell him to do in the garden? Tend the garden. The fruit wasn't there just for his liking. And everything he had to do what? He had to tend to the garden. It's the same thing with us. It's the same thing in this. If you ever spend some time, you want to read something, look up a place called Ellis Island. Anybody ever heard of Ellis Island? Thank you, Lord. It started in the 1800s and went to about 1954. About 12 million immigrants came through there. They came through there. They came on a boat and they came to Ellis Island. Now there's some things you might not know about Ellis Island that you might not hear because people aren't going to tell you. But I want to just share it with you because I want you to discover for yourself. Understand, when they got there, they asked them what their name was. You know what else they asked them? Their occupation. What do you do? They also asked them, how much money do you have? And understand, in the early, in late 1800s and 1900, there were no credit cards. There was no Visa, no MasterCard. And but understand that if you had $25 in 1900, here you go, Mom. Nobody, in 1900, how much money was $25? You could probably buy 2 acres of land. You could have bought some, you could have bought this. If you had $25, it was a lot of money. You didn't need tens of thousands. Can I get an amen? And And I'm only telling you because Paul made it that we're citizens where? In heaven. And you know why they asked you how much money you had in your pocket and your occupation? This was great. You got to look it up. You know why they asked you that? Because they did not want the people coming in from Ellis Island to be a burden on the people of the United States. They didn't want you to all of a sudden come in and to say all of a sudden that this country had to pay your way. You know, you came here because you wanted to be American. You came here because you wanted a better dream. You came through those gates to those people because you wanted something better in your life. Italians, Polish, all over the, even in the valley, we had the Italians one place, the Irish, the Polish in East Derby. Amen. But people came here for a better dream, but they came through. Now, here's something else that people might not tell you. Not everybody got in. If you had a disease, if you were sick, they would not let you in. If you didn't have an occupation, they would not let you in. You don't hear that a lot, but that's the truth. They put you on a ship and sent you back. And some of the people that were sick, they actually kept for 6 months at a time in one place to make sure they were healthy, make sure they were well. But if you weren't able, they would not let you in because you wanted to come here to be a what? A citizen. And the value of being a citizen in any country is huge. And they made it so you come to this one place, and that's how they entered. It's a beautiful dream, amen? But the truth is really different than what we hear all the time. Thank you, Lord. Help me. Thank you, Jesus. They made sure that these people had an occupation. They made sure they were able to tend for themselves. They made sure of, and then they had to take a test. Anybody ever hear about the test? When you wanted to become a citizen, you had to learn how to speak English. You had to learn how to write English. That's not asking. This is what they said, not me. I'm not making it up. I just want you to understand what they wanted from the. And then they wanted you to pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America. And they wanted you to give allegiance to this country. Making that didn't change you. If you were Italian, you're going to be Italian after that. You can be Italian. If you were Polish, you could be Polish. But they wanted you to come here through that door and all that, and wanted you to become an American citizen, honoring the United States Constitution, becoming a family member in the body of the country. Amen? That's what I ask you to look it up. I looked it up, and the more I read, it's just like it's crazy. And they tried to make different laws. They tried to pass different laws, who to let in, who not. But that was the core of Ellis Island until they closed it. But you had, you know, the Statue of Liberty, everybody. But they had to go by that statue and into that gate, into that island. Amen? They didn't, that's what I'm saying. If somebody just takes what isn't theirs, if somebody gets it for free, do they earn it? Do they feel the same way? If somebody just gives you something, do you feel it the same way? Hallelujah. And this is where I'm going to close, and thank you for staying with me. But the book of Ephesians tells us this, brothers and sisters, and you can all think about what we just talked about and pray about it and read more about it. But the book of Ephesians says this about us, that we were saved by grace. Grace. We were saved by grace. We couldn't earn our way into heaven. Lisa, we were saved by grace. God's grace brought us into, hallelujah, what Paul said, the citizenship of heaven. And sometimes I wonder, I'm going to leave you with this, sometimes I wonder, you know what I'm going to say, did God make it too easy for us? He gave us citizenship in heaven, and we didn't have to earn it. Yeah, we got to read this book, and we want to be more Christ-like, but he said, uh-uh. You can't earn it. You can't give me enough money. You can't. You just have to love my son. You have to accept my son into your heart and accept Jesus into your heart, and you will be part of the citizenship of it. Because God believes that if you accepted his son truly in your heart and you truly love Jesus, you would do the things this book told you because you'd want to, because they work for your benefit, because it works for your family's benefit, because it changes your life in ways that the world doesn't understand. Because because the world doesn't believe this book. But so God was saying to us, I love you so much, I'm going to give you something that you may not even know the value of until someday when you wake up in God's arms and you realize the value of what He gave you for free. Because there's a lot of Christians walking around that forget we got this for free. Maybe if we had to earn a little more of it, we'd appreciate it more. But thankfully God says, if you love my son, you truly have him in your heart, you're going to do the things my son tells you to do. You're going to act like these things because it's going to bless you and your family and your children. In God's name, give him praise, church. Hallelujah. We are citizens in heaven.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. Tis you must go and I must pine. But call me back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. For I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, I love you so. If you come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead and dead I may well be, you'll come and find the place where I am lying and kneel and say, and are they there for me? And I shall hear the soft you tread above me, and all my grave shall warmer, sweeter be. For you will kneel and tell me that you love me, and I shall rest in peace until you come to me. But call me back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. For I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, I love you so. Oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
You're not going to need us much longer. Praise the Lord. We are citizens in heaven.
Sorry, Greg, I still love you.
Hallelujah.
The best.
Do all things. things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. A pastor's prayer. Give him praise, church. Second Congregational, we're obedient to the Word of God. Right now, what we're doing, what God told us to do, what Jesus told us to do, as we remember what He did on that cross for us. In the Bible, He says to do this in remembrance of Him, the Word of God, and we shall do that this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, deacons. Saying, "This is my blood being shed for you." And he said, "Drink and do this in remembrance of me for the remission of your sins, to be covered by the blood of Christ." Thank you, deacons. Is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why God simply said to love His Son, because He knew that Word of God got in you. It would show you things and teach you things and lead you places that you never thought possible. Make you stronger, make you taller. Your faith and love and compassion and forgiveness of others, all the things the world does not teach us, God teaches us through His Son. Thank you, Lord. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. The Word of God. He gave it to us freely for the remission of your sins. But He's called you to a higher calling, and He's leading us to higher places in love and forgiveness, and in receiving Him as citizens in heaven, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's beautiful. God is beautiful. God is peace. God is love. God's inside of you because you let Him enter. Let Him fill you. Run that race with us. Give Him praise, church.